Welcome to the Book Boys Podcast, episode number 15.
Yes.
Today we're going to be discussing the short story by Leo Tolstoy called Alyosha. How would you say that? Alyosha?
Yeah.
A-L-Y-O-S-H-A. The Pot Alyosha. Is what the story is called.
Yes.
It's a very short story.
Yeah, so probably a short podcast today. Yeah. We'll try to talk as much as we can about it.
Yeah, very simple, but well-written, and definitely enjoyable to read, I'd say.
I think this was our second story by Tolstoy, because we did The Death of Ivan Ilyich, yeah. Which we both really liked.
Yeah, that's a great book.
And, I mean, this short story is very interesting as well, to be honest. It's quite similar in the way it's written as well.
Yeah, the style of writing is so great. I love it so much. It's very
enjoyable.
Indeed. So, I guess we'll just do the classic plot breakdown.
Yes, the usual move.
So we're not exactly told where or when the story takes place, but you'd imagine
at the time of the Tolstoy story.
Yeah, which is what?
Oh, I'd say like
somewhere between 1800 and 1900.
Yeah, it's very probably it's in Russia.
Yeah. Okay. So the person who the story is based around is called, let's just go ahead with Alyosha, I guess. And then his nickname is The Pot, which he got because his mom wanted him to bring a pot of milk to someone, and then he dropped it, and then thus he got the nickname The Pot. The story really kind of starts when he replaces his brother as a merchant's servant
when his brother goes to war.
And the story, the brother's called Semyon, but he's not in the story. It's just mentioned that Alyosha replaces him.
And he takes his boots as well.
Yeah, and he takes his clothes and boots. And when he starts this job, he's 19 years old. And he basically just does the chores around the house. And I think it's the merchant's mother, the merchant's wife.
And the children as well.
And two sons and a daughter he has.
And it's clearly established that he's a very serviceable person. Yeah, exactly. He loves working. I mean, he enjoys working.
He does everything without question.
Yeah, he never, there's never an ounce of like, oh, I don't really want to do this. It's always immediately, he has to do this because it's his role.
But he's also, the way that he's portrayed, he's a very nice young man and he does what he's told.
Quite simple as well.
He's kind of abused.
Yeah, in a way, people use him, especially his father.
Yeah, which his father takes his wages and
And
everyone, people aren't very nice to him, apart from...
Yeah, he's very honest and people aren't.
Apart from the cook, who also lives in the house.
Yeah, the assistant cook woman.
Is it an assistant? I thought it was just a cook.
Maybe.
Her name is Ustinya. And she's described as being around the same age as him and also being very hardworking like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Another detail that's mentioned in the story is... like we said, his wages are taken to... his father takes.
Yeah, he never sees them.
But he sometimes gets tips.
Yeah, and that's when he buys his...
A red sweater.
Yeah, he buys a red sweater.
Yeah.
Which he's very happy about when he wears it.
Yeah, it says something along the lines of that he stood in the kitchen, like, gaping, and just he didn't know what to do with himself because he was so happy with his red sweater.
And throughout the story, there are very few shows of emotions from him. Same, except for this red sweater and another part, which we'll get to.
Interestingly enough, this red sweater, it says that... the cook was the one who advised him to buy the
red sweater. Really? Okay, so it's all revolving around the cook.
The two moments of happiness in his life come from the cook.
Yeah, exactly.
And then eventually he realizes that people can have other relationships apart from just the relationship that he's had with people so far, which is just providing a service.
Yeah. But
there can also be relationships of friendship or of love. Or of camaraderie, you know, and he kind of realizes that.
Yeah.
And then he realizes, I guess, that he's in love with Ustinya, the cook.
Yeah, when she... I think they're just talking, and then he realizes, why don't we marry each other? It's kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, he just says that very casually.
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting is that she says something about him being married off by his father. But I've never heard, ever, of men being married off to someone.
Well, it's not really married off, it's more... The father would like him to marry someone that would get him money, so...
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, the dad even says, like, you'll marry whoever I want you to.
Yeah, because it's often portrayed as women being like, oh, they have to marry this guy, but it was often both sides. It's just two families would agree.
Right.
And then...
And then neither one would have a choice?
Neither one would have a choice. Okay. That was usually what would happen.
Yeah.
And in this case, so he wants to marry this young cook.
He wants to marry the cook, but then...
his father and the employer.
Yeah, they're kind of... Well, the merchant really is worried about what if the cook gets pregnant, or what if they just stop working as hard and things like that, and he doesn't really want them to get married, so...
Which is extremely selfish.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And also the young man has clearly shown that he works hard in whatever situation.
Yeah.
He's very honest and, like, this one thing.
Yeah.
And they refuse, so...
Yeah, and it's also the one... Well, it's such a big revelation for him that he's able to feel about another person in this way.
And it's such a big breakthrough for him.
Yeah, and then he's denied that.
Yeah. But he takes it in stride.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird because he's just like... Because his dad comes over and the dad says, like, yeah, you can't marry this girl. And then he takes it, like, okay.
That was the best part in the story, I believe. I think he's fixing something mm-hmm. or something. And then the employer's wife asks him something. Yeah. Like, oh, so are you going to get married?
Yeah.
And then he says no and he starts weeping.
Yeah.
Which I thought was beautiful.
Yeah.
Because... It's just, he has no show of emotions really up until that point.
Yeah.
And then he just starts weeping and he doesn't really know the reason, you know? It's very.
Yeah, and he's still just, there's no moment of rebelling.
Exactly. It's just a big.
Rebelling, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Revolution, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, he can't do anything about it, so he just weeps.
He just, I guess it's kind of involuntary that happens. And then. After that's all happened and he's agreed not to marry her, we kind of jump forward in the story where he's fixing something on the roof, or he's like getting snow off the roof, and then he slips and falls, and it says something about he didn't land on the snow, but he landed on like a fence or something.
Yeah, a metal rail, I think it was.
Which has he's still smiling, which is
he just so laid odd. There and it says like he realized he couldn't move.
He was like, oh, so it hurts, smile. But I'm fine, don't worry. Yeah. And he's very set on not letting people feel sorry for him.
Yeah, and the imagery there is very important. You know, you just, I could very much picture him, like the visual aspect, him laying in the snow next to a metal rail and just smiling at the sky.
And then first a doctor comes, but nothing really seems to happen there.
Yeah.
We're not really told why, but we just kind of move
to check on him, I guess.
And then the priest comes,
and then it's like because he was gonna die.
Yeah, and then but then he also just accepts his fate.
Yeah, which is a beautiful ending as well.
Yeah.
What was it? It said that he was before he dies. It's like he has a moment of surprise, and then he died. I think that's what
exactly.
It,
that's kind of the main thing I wanted to discuss.
What was he surprised about?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he realized that his life was just. Worth nothing.
I think that the realization was that he was always good and he always did what he was told, but in the end, he's just a 19-year-old boy laying dead in his merchant's.
But I think
without being able to marry the girl that he first felt feelings for, you know.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know. In my opinion, it was very. Tolstoy wrote this as like, maybe like a rebellious writing against maybe Russia or something like that, something along society that doesn't reward people who do honest work. They just get used.
And maybe it's also just a tale of not everyone has a glorious ending.
I thought was very interesting. Like, it's, especially for that time, it must have been very, like, people must have been like, what's going on here, you know?
Some real controversy.
Because it's almost like a fairy tale in a way, except... You know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like when he meets the girl he's supposed to marry and then he becomes rich or something like that.
That's the moral. No. Things don't always turn out that way.
Yeah.
And through that, I think he kind of points out what's wrong in Russian society during that time.
Exactly. Which is kind of what he does, you know. He chooses a character and he really shows us his point of view and why he does things.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did in Ivan Ilyich. Except Ivan Ilyich was, of course, like a troubled man, very more.
Yeah.
He had a lot more to explore, and I guess this is why it's such a short story.
Yeah.
The man portrayed in this story is very simple, mm-hmm. and it's just what his environment that really gets the better of him.
Yeah, but there's no sort of, there's none of this classic, there's no real, like, elements of a story which are classic. Like, there's no, the character doesn't change in any significant way.
Yeah, there's no character arc at all. No. He's very, well, in a way he does evolve when he learns about his emotions.
But I guess that's true.
Even then, it's the environment. It's
but
not
it
him.
Doesn't affect his behavior.
Yeah, yeah, and also when he realizes he's in love. Well, he doesn't really say that. He says she paid attention to him, and he never thought that.
Sorry for him. Yeah,
yeah. And he never thought anyone would be able to do that.
Yeah, just someone who actually cared about him.
Exactly, and he said the only person that had done that was mother, mm-hmm. but it seemed natural. You know, mother has to do that.
Yeah.
But here, it was like the cook just cared about him or was sorry for him. Just because she liked him, I guess.
Yeah, and he also, he says that everyone's time to die comes, and this is just my time. Yeah. And I think maybe he was able to say that or able to feel that way because he'd kind of learned this new
perspective.
Yeah. And that maybe was already enough to satisfy him.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
The way it was described, kind of from his point of view, was like he never realized that this was also a possibility in life, but it was.
Yeah, so maybe Tolstoy's point wasn't really to be a rebellious author, but more to say that if you accept things as they come, maybe, you know, you'll be more content.
Happy life, just as he lived a happy life, you know? He never complained, and he just kind of...
Lived through it.
Let life happen to him.
Yeah.
But he never let it bother him. And it always said that he was always smiling, and even on his deathbed he was smiling.
Yeah. So I guess smile. Yeah.
But I still have to wonder, though, because...
But yeah, it's so rough.
You also have to stand up to these types of things.
For sure. For sure. Like, with his father... His father, I think, is the worst character of the story. Because, I mean, the merchant, he doesn't want the marriage, but, I mean, if the father had accepted it, it would have probably happened.
Yeah.
But the father is just very, like... When he gives him to the merchant in the beginning, he's like, oh yeah, he's a very serviceable kid. He'll be very easy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite shocking to see a father talk about his son in that way.
And when you're reading the story, you're kind of expecting this moment of like, people realize that he's doing such a good job, or someone, well, I guess that does kind of happen, but then immediately he dies, you know?
Because he never stops working. Like, it says often the servants would take breaks, but he would just keep going with his chores.
He just went from task to task.
And he would just enjoy doing that, which, you know, is very rare among, like, it's not really human nature to just work that hard with no reward.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he kind of goes against that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a beautiful story, I thought.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
It very moved me.
Yeah. Very moved you?
Yeah, you realized it when I said it. It moved me a lot. The weeping part especially. Yeah. I definitely recommend at least reading that part because it's quite a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story. But I think that's about all we have to say about
it. Yeah, quite a short podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, short story, so.
There you go.
Almost summer vacation. Summer.
Winter vacation.
Christmas vacation,
That's right. So, I think either we'll do one more short story.
Next week. We'll try our best if we have time.
And otherwise, the next podcast you hear will be the Pride and Prejudice one.
In 2 weeks by Jane Austen. Jane Austen.
Which, that'll probably be like an hour plus long podcast.
We'll take our time with it.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll try to take notes, you know, have a clear plan of what we're going to do.
Yeah. And maybe just try, because with these short stories, we can kind of go all over the place a little bit.
Maybe try to keep it focused.
But we're still within our analysis and expression within those different modules of looking at a story, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'd be better. And a lot of people have read that book. It's a very, very popular book. Yeah.
Because I heard of the author, but not that specific
book. Well, that's...
But my mom had heard of it, so...
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
Her most famous book.
Okay, so exciting things coming up for the book, boys.
I hope you guys are looking forward to it.
You need to read 1Q84.
That's right.
By Haruki Murakami.
1,400-page book.
It's a huge book.
Podcast on that's coming too.
If you manage to finish, maybe even if you don't finish it,
we can do the three books, the beginning at least, or we can make three podcasts
and decide why you didn't want to finish it. You know, that'd be interesting to explore.
Yeah, we could talk about 4-3-2-1 in that way as well.
That way too. Yeah, 4-3-2-1 is a crazy.
But for now, I mean, right. I'll leave you with Eloise Book Boys.
Recommendation of the week.
Make it something good.
Okay, I'll let me think about it for 2 seconds.
Well, while he's thinking about it, I'll just tell you, you know, Twitter, Instagram.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely recommend my favorite anime, you know.
Okay.
I think I already did that, but there's a song from the favorite anime. This is artist called Nujabes, I think his name is. It's Nujabes.
Yeah.
And he's a Japanese composer, and it's sort of mixed with American hip-hop. It's very interesting. And, if you like the anime, definitely check out the songs.
Just tell me again what anime it is.
It's a Japanese animation movie, I guess.
But what is it called?
Oh, it's called Samurai Champloo.
There you go.
My favorite anime, of course. And he's the composer, so definitely check it out, guys. Give me your thoughts about it. Please comment below.
Please do,
We'd like to hear what our viewers are like, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you for listening.
And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.